വക്രതുണ്ട മഹാകായ സൂര്യകോടി സമപ്രഭ നിർവിഘ്നം കുരു മേ ദേവ സർവകാര്യേഷു സർവദാ ശിവശക്തിയുക്തോ യദി ഭവതി ശക്തഃ പ്രഭവിതും ന ചേദേവം ദേവോ ന ഖലു കുശലഃ സ്പന്ദിതുമപി അതസ്ത്വാമാരാധ്യ ഹരിഹര വിരിഞ്ചാധിഭിരപി പ്രണന്തും സ്തോതും വാ കതമകൃത പുണ്യഃ പ്രഭവതി.
Om Shri Sai Ram, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam. And with me, Team Radio Sai, Sunil, welcoming you to Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam. Today is the 26th of September 2019, and let me first read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. To experience God, what should we give up? Bhagwan drives home an important lesson today, and I quote, God is the embodiment of love. To experience God, you must fill yourselves with love. Through love alone can you experience the embodiment of love. The person filled with jealousy and hatred is like a blind man who cannot see the sun, however brightly it may shine. Covered by ignorance, such a person cannot see God, however near he may be. The wise person or jnani, filled with good qualities like truth, love, absence of jealousy, ego and hatred, can see God without searching for him. Students, youth and elders alike should give no room for evil traits like jealousy. You must feel happy when others succeed in studies, sports or profession. To feel jealous towards successful person is a threefold offense. The first offense is one's neglect of duty or studies. The second offense is to entertain jealousy towards the better individual. And the third is to lament over one's own failure. Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on September 6th, 1984. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 45 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Today in Divine Glory, I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by the concluding part of a conversation with Srimati Padma, the daughter of late Sri N. Kasturi, the biographer of Bhagwan Baba. In conversation with Srimati Padma is Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. First, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account of the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanthi Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Chapter 11, Sai Asagun Brahma, Dr. Pandit's Worship, Haji Siddiq Phalke, Control over the elements. Let us now in this chapter describe the manifested Brahma Sai as to how he was worshipped and how he controlled the elements. Sai Asagun Brahma. There are two aspects of God or Brahma, the unmanifested Nirgun and the manifested Sagun. The Nirgun is formless, while the Sagun is with form, though both denote the same Brahma. Some prefer to worship the former and some the latter. As stated in the Gita, the worship of the latter is easy and preferable. As man has got a form, body and senses, it is natural and easy for him to worship the God with form. Our love and devotion do not develop unless we worship Sagun Brahma for a certain period of time. And as we advance, it leads us to the worship of Nirgun Brahma. So, let us start with Sagun worship. Image, altar, fire, light, sun, water. Brahma are the seven objects of worship. But Sadguru is better than all of these. Let us on this occasion bring to our mind the form of Sai, who was non-attachment incarnate and who was a resting place for his devotees. Our faith in his words is the asan, and our sankalp is the abandonment of all our desires. Some say Sai was a Bhagavad Bhakt, devotee of the Lord. Others say he was a Mahabhagavat, a great devotee. But to us, he is God incarnate. He was ever forgiving, never irritable, straight, soft, tolerant and content beyond comparison. Though he looked unembodied, he was really disembodied, emotionless, unattached and internally free. The Ganges on its way to the sea cools and refreshes the creatures affected with heat, gives life to the crops and trees and quenches the thirst of many. Similarly, saints like Sai, while they live their own life, give solace and comfort to all. Lord Krishna has said, "The saint is my soul, my living image. I am he, or he is my pure form." This indescribable Shakti or power of God, known as pure existence, knowledge and bliss incarnated in the form of Sai in Shirdi. The Shruti, Taittiriya Upanishad, describes Brahma as pure bliss. This we read or hear daily in the books, but the devout people experience Brahma or bliss in Shirdi. Baba, the support of all, required no prompt or asan from anybody. He always used a piece of sackcloth for his seat, which was covered with a small mattress by his bhaktas and had a bolster placed by them for resting his back. Baba respected the feelings of his devotees and allowed them to worship him as they liked. Some waved chamar or fans before him, some played on musical instruments, some washed his hands and feet, while the others applied scent and chandan. Some even gave him betel nut with leaves, and the others offered naivedya. Though he looked like living in Shirdi, he was present everywhere. This all-pervasiveness of his was daily experienced by his devotees. A humble prostration to this all-pervasive Sadguru. Dr. Pandit's worship. One Dr. Pandit, a friend of Tatya Sahib Nulkar, once came to Shirdi for Sai Baba's darshan. After saluting Baba, he sat in the masjid for some time. Baba asked him to go to Dada Bhai Kelkar. He went to Dada Bhai, by whom he was well received. Then, Dada Bhai left his house for puja and Dr. Pandit accompanied him. Dada Bhai worshipped Baba. Nobody until then dared to apply sandal paste to Baba's forehead. Only Mahasapati used to apply to his throat. But this simple-hearted Dr. Pandit took Dada Bhai's dish containing puja materials and, taking chandan out of it, drew a tripund, three horizontal lines on Baba's forehead. To the surprise of all, Baba kept silent without uttering a single word. Then, Dada Bhai that evening asked Baba, "How is it that though you object to the sandal paste being applied by others to your forehead, you allow Dr. Pandit to do so?" Baba replied, "Dr. Pandit believed him to be the same as his guru, Raghunath Maharaj of Dhopeshwar, known as Kaka Puranik, and he applied the paste to his forehead as he was doing to his guru. Hence, he could not object." On inquiry, Dr. Pandit told Dada Bhai that he took Baba as his guru Kaka Puranik and realized him as the same. Hence, he marked the tripund on Baba's forehead as he did on his guru's. Though Baba allowed the devotees to worship him as they pleased, still sometimes he acted in a strange way. Sometimes he threw away the puja dish and was wrath incarnate. Then who could approach him? Sometimes he scolded the devotees. At times he looked softer than wax, a statue of peace and forgiveness. Though he seemed to shake with anger and his red eyes rolled round, still he was internally an ocean of affection and motherly love. He would call out his devotees and say that he never knew when he was ever angry with them. If it was possible that mothers could kick their children and the sea turn back the river, he too could neglect the devotees' welfare, that he, the slave of his devotees, always stood by them and responded to them whenever they called upon him, and that he always longed for their love. Haji Siddiq Phalke. There was no knowing as to when Baba would accept a devotee. That depended on his will. Siddiq Phalke's story is to the point. One Muslim gentleman by name Siddiq Phalke of Kalyan, after making pilgrimage to Mecca and Medina, came to Shirdi. He lived in the Chavadi facing north and sat in the open courtyard of the masjid. For 9 months Baba ignored him and did not allow him to step into the masjid. Phalke felt very sad and did not know what to do. Somebody advised him not to be disappointed, but to try to approach Baba through Shama, a close and intimate devotee of Baba. He told him that as they approached the Lord Shiva through the servant and devotee Nandi, so should Baba be approached through Shama. Phalke liked the idea and implored Shama to intercede for him. Shama agreed and on an inconvenient occasion spoke to Baba about him thus, "Baba, why don't you allow the old Haji to step into your masjid while so many persons freely come and go after taking your darshan? Why not bless him once?" Baba replied, "Shama, you are immature to understand these things. If the Allah does not allow, what can I do? Without his grace, who will climb into the masjid? Well, go to him and ask him whether he will come to the narrow footpath near the Barwi well." Shama went and returned with an affirmative answer. Again Baba said to Shama, "Ask him whether he is willing to pay me the sum of 40,000 rupees in 4 installments. Shama went and returned with the answer that he was willing to pay even 40 lakhs. Again Baba said to Shama, "We are going to cut a goat in the masjid, so ask him whether he would like to have its meat haunch or testicles of the goat." Shama returned with the answer that the Haji would be happy to receive a small crumb from Baba's mud pot. Hearing this, Baba got excited and with his hands threw away the earthen jars and the mud pot and straightaway advanced to the Haji and lifted his kafni up in the arms and said, "Why do you brag and pose yourself as an old Haji? Do you read Quran like this? You are proud of your pilgrimage to Mecca, but you do not know me." Being thus scolded, the Haji was confounded. Baba then went back to the masjid, purchased a basket of mangoes and sent them to the Haji. Then again Baba went to the Haji and taking out 55 rupees from his pocket, gave them in the Haji's hand. From then Baba loved the Haji, invited him for meals and the Haji thereafter came into the masjid whenever he liked. Baba gave him at times some rupees and thus Haji was enrolled into Baba's darbar. Baba's control over the elements. We shall close this chapter after describing 2 incidents showing Baba's control over the elements. Once at evening time, there was a terrible storm at Shirdi. The sky was overcast with thick black clouds. The winds began to blow with great force. The clouds roared and the lightning began to flash and the rain started pouring in torrents. In a short time, the whole place was flooded with water. All the creatures, birds, beasts and men got terribly frightened and they all flocked to the masjid for shelter. There are many local deities in Shirdi, but none of them came to the rescue. So they all prayed to Baba, their god, who was fond of their devotion, to intercede and quell the storm. Baba was much moved. He came out and standing at the edge of the masjid, addressed the storm in a loud and thunderous voice, "Stop! Stop your fury and be calm!" In a few minutes, the rains subsided. The winds ceased to blow and the storm came to a stop. The moon rose in the sky and the people went back home well pleased. On another occasion at noon, the fire in the dhuni began to burn brightly. Its flames were reaching the rafters above. The people who were sitting in the masjid did not know what to do. They dared not ask Baba to pour water or do anything to quench the flames. But Baba soon came to realize what was happening. He took up his sadka and dashed it against a pillar in front, saying, "Get down and be calm." At each stroke of the sadka, the flames began to slow down, and in a few minutes, the dhuni became calm and normal. This is our Sai, an incarnation of God. He will bless any man who will prostrate and surrender himself to Him. He who will read the stories of this chapter daily with faith and devotion will soon be free from all calamities, and they will be always attached and devoted to Sai. He will get very soon God vision. All his desires will be fulfilled, and he will be ultimately desireless and attain the Supreme. Amen. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 12. Sai Leelas, Experiences of Kaka Mahajani, Dhumal Pleader, Mrs. Nimonkar, Mule Shastri, a Doctor. Now let us see in this chapter how devotees were received and treated by Baba. Saint's Mission. We have seen before that the purpose or object of divine incarnation is to protect the good and destroy the wicked. But the mission of the saints is quite different. To them, the good and the wicked are the same. First, they draw the evildoers and set them on the right path. They are the Agasthi to destroy the Bhavasagar, or the sun to destroy the darkness of ignorance. The God dwells in the saints. In fact, they are not different from Him. Our Sai is one of these, who incarnated for the welfare of the devotees, supreme in knowledge and surrounded by divine aura. He loved all beings equally. He was unattached. Foes and friends, kings and paupers, all were the same to Him. For the sake of devotees, He gave a stock of merits and was ever alert to help them. But the devotees could never approach Him unless He meant to receive them. If their appointed time did not come, they did not remember Baba, and His leelas could not reach their ears. Then how could they even think of Him? Some men desired to see Sai Baba, but they did not get any opportunity of taking His darshan till His Mahasamadhi. There are many such persons whose desire for Baba's darshan was not satisfied. If these persons, believing in Him, listen to His leelas, their quest for darshan will be to a great extent satisfied by those leelas. Even if some persons went there by sheer luck and took Baba's darshan, were they able to stay there longer? No. Nobody could go there of his own accord, and no one could stay there longer if he did not wish so. They could stay there so long as Baba permitted them to stay, and had to leave the place when asked to do so by Him. So everything depended on Baba's divine will. Kaka Mahajani. Once Kaka Mahajani went to Shirdi from Mumbai. He wanted to stay there for 1 week and enjoy the Gokulashtami festival. As soon as he took Baba's darshan, Baba asked him, "So, when are you returning home?" Kaka Mahajani was rather surprised at the question, but he had to give an answer. He said he would go home when Sai Baba ordered him to do so. Then Baba said, "Go tomorrow." Baba's word was law and had to be obeyed. Kaka Mahajani therefore left Shirdi immediately. When he went to his office in Mumbai, he found his employer anxiously waiting for him. His munim, the manager, had suddenly fallen ill, hence Kaka's presence was absolutely necessary. He had sent a letter to Kaka at Shirdi, which was then redirected to him at Mumbai. Bhau Sahib Dhumal. Now listen to another story. Once, Bhau Sahib Dhumal was going to Nipad for a case. On the way, he came to Shirdi, took Baba's darshan, and wanted to proceed to Nipad immediately. But Baba did not permit him to do so. He made him stay at Shirdi for a week or more. In the meanwhile, the magistrate at Nipad suffered intensely from pain in his abdomen, and the case was adjourned. Mr. Dhumal was then allowed to go and attend to his case. It went on for some months and was tried by 4 magistrates. Ultimately, Mr. Dhumal won the case and his client was acquitted. Mrs. Nimonkar. Mr. Nana Sahib Nimonkar, Watandar of Nimon, an honorary magistrate, was staying at Shirdi with his wife. Mr. and Mrs. Nimonkar were spending most of their time in the masjid with Baba and serving him. It so happened that their son fell ill at Belapur and the mother decided with Baba's consent to go to Belapur and see her son and other relatives and stay there for a few days. But Mr. Nana Sahib asked her to return the next day. The lady was in a fix. She did not know what to do. But her god Sai came to her help. While leaving Shirdi, she went back to Baba, who was standing in front of Sathya's Wada with Mr. Nana Sahib and the others. She prostrated at his feet and asked his permission to go. Baba said to her, "Go, go quickly. Be calm and unperturbed. Stay comfortably at Belapur for 4 days. See all your relatives and then return to Shirdi." How opportune were Baba's words. Mr. Nana Sahib's proposal was overruled by Baba's decree. Mule Shastri of Nasik. An orthodox Agnihotri Brahmin of Nasik, Mule Shastri, who had studied the six Shastras and was well versed in astrology and palmistry, once came to Shirdi to see Mr. Bapu Sahib Bhutti, the famous milliner of Nagpur. After seeing him, he and the others went to see Baba in the masjid. Baba brought various fruits and other things from vendors with his own money and distributed them to the people present in the masjid. Baba used to press the mango on all sides so skillfully that when he sucked it, he got all the pulp at once in his mouth and could throw away the seed. Plantains were peeled off by Baba and the pulp was distributed to the devotees while the skins were retained by Baba for himself. Mule Shastri, as a palmist, wanted to examine Baba's palm and asked him to extend his hand. Baba ignored the request and gave him 4 plantains. Then they all returned to the Wada and Mule Shastri had his bath, wore fresh clothes and started his routine duties of Agnihotra, etc. Then Baba as usual started for Lendi and said, "Take some Geru." Geru is a red, miry substance used to dye clothes in saffron color. Baba said, "We shall today don saffron-colored clothes." No one understood what Baba meant. Then after some time, when Baba returned and preparations for the noon aarti were being made, Bapu Sahib Jog asked Mule Shastri whether he would accompany him for the aarti. Mule Shastri replied he would see Baba in the afternoon. Baba sat on his seat, was worshipped by the devotees, and aarti commenced. Then Baba said, "Get some dakshina from that new Nasik Brahmin." Bhutti himself went to the Wada to get the dakshina, and when he gave Baba's message to Mule Shastri, he was sorely perplexed. He thought in his mind, "I am a pure Agnihotri Brahmin. Why should I pay dakshina? Baba may be a great saint. I am not his dependent." But since a great saint like Sai Baba was asking for dakshina through a millionaire like Bhutti, he could not refuse. So leaving his routine unfinished, he started with Bhutti for masjid. Thinking himself holy and the masjid otherwise, he remained at a distance and after joining his palms, threw flowers at Baba from there. Then lo, all of a sudden, he saw not Baba, but his late Guru Gholap Swami there. He was wonderstruck. Could this be a dream? No, it was not, as he was wide awake. But how could his late Guru Gholap be there? He was speechless for some time. He pinched himself and thought again, but could not reconcile the fact of his late Guru Gholap being in the masjid. Ultimately, leaving aside all doubt, he went up, fell at his Guru's feet, and then stood there with folded hands. Other people sang Baba's aarti, while Mule Shastri chanted loudly his Guru's name. Then, casting off all pride of caste and sacredness, he fell at his Guru's feet and closed his eyes. When he got up and opened his eyes, he saw Baba asking for dakshina. Seeing Baba's blissful form and his inconceivable power, Mole Shastri forgot himself. He was extremely pleased. His eyes were full of tears of joy. He again saluted Baba and gave the Dakshina. He said that his doubt was removed and he saw his own Guru. On seeing this wonderful Leela of Baba, all the people, including Mole Shastri, were much moved and they realized the meaning of Baba's words, "Bring Geru, we shall don saffron-colored cloth." Such is a wonderful Leela of Baba. A doctor. Once a Mamlatdar came to Shirdi with a doctor friend of his. The doctor said his deity was Ram and that he would not bow before a Muslim, and so he was unwilling to go to Shirdi. The Mamlatdar replied that nobody would be forced to bow down, so he should come and give the pleasure of his company. Accordingly, they reached Shirdi and went to the masjid for Baba's darshan. All were wonderstruck to see the doctor going ahead and saluting Baba. They asked him how he forgot his resolve and bowed down to a Muslim. The doctor replied that he saw his beloved deity Ram on the seat and he therefore prostrated himself before him. Then, as he began saying this, he again saw Sai Baba there. Being dismayed, he again said, "Is this a dream? How could he be a Muslim? He is a great yoga sampan avatar." Next day, he made a vow and began to fast. He stayed away from the masjid, resolving not to go there until Baba blessed him. 3 days passed, and on the fourth day, a close friend of his from Khandesh turned up, and with him he went to the masjid for Baba's darshan. After the salutation, Baba asked him whether anybody had gone to call him, so he had come. Hearing this vital question, the doctor was moved. The same night, he was blessed by Baba, and he experienced the bliss supreme in his sleep. Then, he left for his town, where he remained in the same state for a fortnight. Thus, his devotion for Baba increased manyfold. The moral of all these stories mentioned above, especially that of Mole Shastri, is that we should have firm faith in our Guru and no one else. More leelas of Sai Baba will be described in the next chapter. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 13. More Sai Leelas. Diseases cured. Bhimaji Patil. Bala Shimpi. Bapu Saheb Bhuti. Alandi Swami. Kaka Mahajani. Dattopant of Harda. The inscrutable power of Maya. Baba's words were always short, deep, full of meaning, effective and well balanced. He was ever content and never cared for anything. He said, "Though I am a fakir, have no house or wife, and though leaving off all care, I stay at one place. The inevitable Maya teases me often. Though I forget myself, she cannot forget me. She always envelops me. This Maya of the Lord harasses even Lord Brahma and others. Then what to speak of a poor fakir like me? Those who take refuge in the God will be freed from her clutches with his grace." In such terms, Baba spoke about the power of Maya. Lord Sri Krishna has said to Uddhava in the Bhagavat that the saints are his living forms. And see what Baba has said for the welfare of his devotees.
See, the first thing,
tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Welcome to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Srimati Padmama is once again with us today to share some more of her own memorable experiences with beloved Bhagwan. Welcome, ma'am, to the studios of Radio Sai Global Harmony.
Sai Ram, thank you, Rajeshwari.
Last time, when we met here, after the interview in which you spoke very fondly about your father, as we were going together, I asked you if I should walk you back to your house as it was late. And your reply on that occasion still rings in my ears. You said, "No, this is my Prashanthi Nilayam. I know the place better than you." I felt a joyous sense of belonging in your voice. I realized that your life is so very much tied to Bhagwan and to this place. So I would like to begin this session with a question relating to this. Please tell our listeners about your Prashanthi Nilayam, as you called it. What was it like in those days and what was its daily routine?
It was only just like a bungalow-like. It was not like this mandir. And in front there was a huge garden with all coconut palm trees and mango trees and all this. At both the sides there were small houses, twin houses, tiled houses.
Mm-hmm.
And there was space in between. And those days it was a big problem to reach Puttaparthi. From Bangalore to reach Puttaparthi, first we had to travel by a train to the station called Penukonda.
Mm-hmm.
I think the traveling hours were over 3 to 4 hours. From there we had to catch a jatka horse cart to go to the bus stand.
And bus stand
in Penukonda.
Penukonda.
And
from the railway station
railway
to the bus
station
stand.
To the bus stand we had to take a horse cart. And from the bus, it came to Bukapatnam. We had to travel in the bus to reach Bukapatnam, which is about 3 to 4 miles away from Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we had to take a cart, bullock cart.
Okay.
And that bullock cart journey was something very interesting now to think about it.
Yeah.
But it was very hard when we really had to come.
With all your bag and baggage.
Bag and baggage and in all that sand.
So you cross the hot sands of the river Chitravati.
Yes, and whenever it has
cart?
Got to go through the sands, the bullock cart man will ask us to get down because the bullocks were finding it very difficult to walk on the sand with that luggage and all the heavy load. And walking on the sand is very difficult because it's
hot
and the legs will go.
The feet would go in. Yes.
And we had to pull the feet out and people who are not used to all this, who lived in cities, it was really...
How many hours was the journey from Bangalore to Puttaparthi with all these different forms of transport?
If we started Bangalore by about 9 o'clock, we used to reach Puttaparthi only by 5 or 6
in the evening.
And the best thing was Swami will be there waiting for us. Whenever some bullock cart came, no? Sometimes he'd be just near the bullock cart and receiving
us. So he gave you a really warm welcome.
Yes, we never felt that hardship of the journey at all.
Okay.
Immediately we could get his namaskar. And if there are small children in the bullock cart, he himself will help them and then take them out of the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately he will come into the house and see the things and he will ask us, "What have you brought for me?" Like a small child or relative, no?
How did Swami come to know that you are arriving?
No, whenever some
He always knew,
of course. But whenever some bullock carts came,
yes,
he was already there to receive.
Okay.
So it was a wonderful experience coming to Puttaparthi.
What was the daily routine like? I mean, what time did the darshan begin or what was it like? Or was there no such timing?
No such timing.
There, no
there was no, when we came here, there was no Suprabhatam, Marnagar Sankirtan or anything like that.
Mm.
We could get up even late in the mornings. And Swami will, there were not lot many people for the interview. There was no line, no token line.
Mm-hmm.
And people who wanted to leave this very same day, they will be seated in the veranda.
Nowadays, on ordinary days, you have some thousands.
Yeah. They will sit in the veranda and the ladies will sit down there and Swami will come down by 8 or some...
Are you talking about the new mandir or the old mandir?
New mandir only, 7:30 or 8.
Mm.
And he will stand near the interview room and the first come first, those days. Was not like the...
So everybody got an interview?
Everybody almost got the interview. And we were making it very sure that we got the interview the day we left because we can take the prasadam and everything.
On a regular basis, how many people used to be there every day?
on the average?
Average about 200 or 300, that's all.
Every day.
Every
and
day.
Festivals, of course, there
of
will
course,
be
the hall, the Mandir hall will be full.
Oh.
Only for the festive days. Mm. We were so happy. We used to say, oh, so many people, the hall is full.
Yes.
Now, the every day the hall is full.
Every day is full. Not more than full. So, there was no routine. And then
no
you said
routine
bhajan.
And
you
bhajan was at 11 and between 11 and 12.
Every day.
Every day.
So, darshan was...
Not like
there was
darshan.
No routine for
there
darshan.
Not because
all
were
the
not
time
many.
You had darshan.
There were not many people, so he didn't have to go around.
Yeah.
But he used to come down and walk in
walk
the,
from
the
place
garden
to place
and place
and
to
so
place.
So you could have darshan almost all the
yeah.
time.
And we could get namaskaram also. He allowed us to do namaskaram whenever he's walking in the garden.
Mm.
Or he will come home and sit with us and talk. Like we.
So there was a garden, a big garden?
Big garden was there with all flowering plants and coconut. And to tell you, there we ladies, we used to water the plants every day.
Mm.
It was a routine because we didn't have any taps or anything. There was no electricity in those times.
You told me yes,
yeah.
last time. Yeah.
Only one Petromax light was used for bhajan inside the hall.
Mm. And that was only in the morning. What about the evening bhajans?
Evening bhajans.
Evening bhajan, what time was that?
It was between 6 and 7.
6 and 7?
Yeah.
Oh, so 7 o'clock the bhajans were
yeah.
over. And evening, were there interviews too?
No, not many.
Only in the mornings?
Only in the mornings or during bhajan, as he wished.
Okay.
it was not planned or any routine like these days.
So he was literally the master
yeah.
of the place.
So when we didn't have the electricity, or no, there were only two wells there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to draw water from the well
mm-hmm.
and water all the plants. And we ladies, we used to gather between 4 and 6 in the evenings. And we used to water the plants. And some strong ladies,
mm-hmm.
because we had to draw the water from the well, no? They mm-hmm. used to draw the water.
Mm-hmm.
And we ladies, young ladies, we used to stand in lines and pass on the water pots from one to another.
Mm-hmm.
And some old ladies who could not carry the water, they used to collect all the empty vessels and take it to the well. It was a daily routine from evening, from 4 to 6, it was there.
So only the women did the watering
yes.
of the plants in the garden.
And Swami, sometimes he used to walk around in the garden, he will come to us, talk to us. And some days after this watering thing is over, he will give us some fruits or some prasadam. So we were enjoying.
You know, last time when I was talking to you, and I mean, and you were also talking about your father, you were saying that you were not unfortunately present on the occasion when Swami or Bhagwan was going to take apparently a picture of your father. And the photograph, of course, turned out to be a kind of joke. He wanted to play on Professor Kasturi.
Yeah.
Were you in any, at any time involved in a similar incident?
Yes, I'm going to tell you that. You see, after, and there also another routine was there. Every day after Swami's dinner, we, some of the ladies, were allowed to go to his dining hall room. He used to come to the eastern side of the mandir for his dinner, lunch and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his sisters, they used to serve him. And after his dinner, we ladies used to go to him and garland him. When the jasmine season was there, no, we used to make beautiful garlands. And he used to allow us to garland him. And one day, there was a very beautiful garland somebody had made. And he liked it very much.
Yeah.
And he said, I wish somebody would take a picture.
Oh, so.
With this garland on me.
Okay.
And suddenly he said, there is an idea. Anyway, you are all watering these plants for so many days. Tomorrow morning, you all come to the terrace. I will take a photograph. Mandir terrace. You will all take we will all sit together and take
Swami
a photo.
Would wear the garland.
Garland and take a photograph.
Okay.
Oh, we were all so excited.
The whole night.
And those days there was no color film. So it was a problem for us to choose the saris to wear because only black and white. No? We were all ready by the morning 8 o'clock and he asked us to bring the pots also.
Mm. Just so that you could have the pots in front
yes,
of you.
In front of us. And he asked us to bring a big brass pot. He wanted to sit on that in the center. He didn't want a chair.
Okay.
And we all went there. We were about 25. And my eldest son, he was just 3 years old then. He used to water the plants with a small pot, brass pot. Swami asked me to bring him also. So he was also there. And Swami said he can sit in front of him and we all stood. We
and he also,
stand.
Was he holding the pot? Small pot.
Yes, small pot. And then the problem was, There was only one photographer in Puttaparthi. He was a young man. And so we didn't want that young man to come and photo all these young ladies. So he said he asked my father to come and take a picture. My father denied, Swami, I don't know how to focus. I don't even know how to
Swami
hold a camera.
Swami didn't want even the photographer to look through the box camera and take your picture.
But the Swami said, no problem. I will come and help you. I will do the every focusing and all that. Then you just hold the camera. I will come back and sit on the pot. And when they say ready, you just click it. It will come.
Mm.
So same thing happened. Father was holding there and Swami went and refocused
adjusted everything.
And he came back and sat on the pot and said, ready. And Father clicked.
Okay, what happened?
Then the disaster was, Swami said, oh, Kasturi spoiled everything. No photo has come.
Oh, no.
We were all disappointed. But though we could not get the photo, the impression of that opportunity and of that thing,
imprint
it is imprinted in our hearts. We just do remember that day.
Oh,
we are
no.
so happy we got that opportunity.
That is a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
It's rather humorous, but it's also very educative. What sort of message do you think Bhagwan was conveying through that? Because, you know, I think apparently Bhagwan has not changed his viewpoints about the protection of women from the eyes of men. And that is a very beautiful lesson, really. I heard that you had several opportunities to have moonlit night dinners with Bhagwan. Please tell us about that.
Swami liked the moonlight dinners very much. Whenever the full moon day, he will just ask everybody, oh, let's go and have a dinner in the open terrace, Mandir terrace.
Mandir terrace.
Mandir terrace only. Because
and what about the sands of the river Chitravati? Did he take people there also?
No. These dinners, usually we used to have it on the terrace only.
Oh, that's good. So you have terrace dinners.
Yeah, terrace. We have gone up to the terrace. And each family would cook their food. And we all went upstairs. And some people, Swami will order to prepare some more in larger quantity, some savouries or sweets like that.
What were the favorite dishes of Swami?
Vada or bhaji.
He liked that?
He liked that. And so those people were prepared in large quantity. Large means about, those days there was hardly 25 or 30 families.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to sit in groups. All our families, we used to sit in groups.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami used to serve the extra, that vada or bhaji, whatever they have brought, he used to serve to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used to bring his plate to each and every family, show it there.
Oh, how fortunate.
And whatever special thing we had prepared, we used to serve him.
Offer him.
And then he will sit in the center. We all used to sit in a circle.
And he sit in the center and then?
In those days there were no tape recorders.
Hmm.
But he had a gramophone. Record.
Player.
And he used to play old drama songs, Telugu songs and all that.
That is music in the background.
Music
with all
in
the party
background
there.
Also.
It was. So the party music was the old songs. What songs? Do you remember any songs?
No, sorry.
I mean, all from Telugu
old
dramas.
Telugu dramas.
Mythological plays?
Yes, mythological only.
I'm sure you would like that.
Mm. And once, you see, after the dinner was over, we used to do aarti for Swami. And once he asked for a plate, empty plate.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody gave him a silver empty plate. Mm-hmm. And he just took the plate from bottom.
Oh, just hit it.
Hit it. And the whole plate was full of vibhuti.
Oh, my God. And then he gave it to all of us.
Gave it to all of us. So, I have enjoyed the opportunity. I think I had about twice or thrice these moonlight dinner parties.
Oh.
All memorable.
And with all those old songs playing in the background. That was fun. What about, were you at any time with Bhagwan on Vaikuntha Ekadashi days when he created Amrit and all that?
Yes, I was with him for maybe many times, 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, there was one special Vaikuntha Ekadashi.
Mm-hmm.
That means that Amrit coming, I will tell you later how it came.
Okay.
I want you to in suspense.
Yes. All right, tell us.
It was in 1957, because I do remember the year, Because that year my father's 60th birthday was celebrated. Swami celebrated in Mandir. It was in December only because my father was born on Christmas Day. And Vaikunth Ekadashi usually falls in the end of December.
Somewhere in December.
And Swami took us all to the Chitravati River. And that day also Swami said we will have moonlight dinner in Chitravati. It was a very rare, sometimes we used to have.
Very rarely, but.
So we all prepared food and took it there. We were all there and Swami made some bhajan and.
And the Petromax lamp also went along with
it? Yes, it will come because by the time we return, it will be dark.
Quite late.
And torches like that. And those roads were not like this, what it is today. So after doing bhajan and giving some, not a discourse, it was only a formal discussion like. He will tell some stories or he will ask somebody to ask some question like that it was used to go on. Then he asked for my father to give the tumbler which he always took because sometimes Swami used to take water and so they carried water for drinking and a silver tumbler. Then his father thought that Swami was asking for some water so he started filling the tumbler with water. Then Swami said, no, give me the empty tumbler. Then father gave that empty tumbler. Swami held the tumbler near his mouth. And then we just heard a sound of like vomiting. Wah! Like that.
Oh, a gurgling sound.
A gurgling.
And then he took Amrit out of his mouth?
Yeah. That was the only time I heard that.
That he has done such a thing.
Then immediately there was a fragrant smell all over and...
We heard of Bhagavan taking the linga out from within, but this is something rare.
From silver tumbler, silver container.
On earlier occasions he used to take...
From the silver container, sometimes he used to take out from the sand some conch-like thing and he poured Amrit from that to a container. But this time... He took it from the mouth. And it seems he immediately asked, my father, have you noticed what is there in my stomach?
Oh.
It is the Amrita Kalisham.
He said that?
Yeah.
So the nectar container of nectar
I think
is
we are really,
stomach.
We were all really fortunate that to get the real Amritam from is the real Amrita Kalisham.
And from Mahavishnu.
Yeah.
On such an auspicious
and he gave
thing.
It to all. He never used to give the Amritam in our hands. He himself will pour into our mouth with that spoon.
Oh.
And that was a big problem. We had to open our mouth wide.
And then he would pour out.
To open our mouth wide open in front of Swami.
Yeah.
It was really difficult.
Oh, good. Now, do you have any mementos of those early years?
Yes, I do have some. In 1954, Swami created nine Shivalingas emerged from his mouth. Small, but they are all...
1954.
And he has given one for my grandmother.
He gave one to her?
Yeah. She used to worship it and do Abhishekam.
So is that with you?
Yeah, it is now with me.
So do you also do the same?
Yes, every day worship it and do Abhishekam.
So that's the legacy, see?
Yeah.
That you have.
And also you may be knowing that when Swami went to Badrinath, he took out the lingam from the shrine which was installed by Shankaracharya. And the lingam was worshipped by golden bilwa leaves created by Swami. You must have
read about that in Satyam Sundaram.
And also when Swami went to Somnath, he created golden flowers and showered it on the lingam there. This also is in Satyam Shiva Sundaram.
Yes.
Then the golden bilwa leaves and the golden flowers he distributed among the devotees who followed him.
Oh, so you have
that? Yeah, my father, Mr. Kasturi, was one of the lucky recipient of that. I got both. One bilwa leaf.
One bilwa putra and one golden flower. What have you done? Where have you kept it?
I kept it in my shrine. I have stuck it with some photos and it is there in my shrine. It is in the house. And those days Swami used to chew paan in his early days. And during 60th birthday, when the sealing of disease was forced on devotees, Swami, to be an example for it, he
used to eat paan a lot. But I think on that occasion when the sealing on desires theory was evolved and for practical application in all the households of the devotees.
He also Bhagavan
wanted to set an example and he gave up eating paan.
Yeah. And then he gave that paan box to my father. He said, it is of no use for me now because I have sealed the desire on paans.
Swami is always like that. First he sets an example and then he wants others
and
to
my
follow.
Father used to keep vibhuti in that. He used it as a vibhuti container. And I am fortunate to have it with me.
So you
now.
Have that also. You have a picture, I think, a small photograph, if I remember.
Yes, he has created one picture for me. He gave one for me in 1954. When I had some problems in my life. He said, I give this picture and whenever you are in agony or any despair, you can just pour out
your sorrows
in front of this picture. I will give you solace and peace.
So you have that also. What else do you have? Or something that he gave maybe to your father, which you have even now?
See, we have heard of Swami creating rings, lockets, vibhuti and all that. But once he created a small monkey. Monkey means not a real monkey. Stone monkey to my father. Would you like to hear about
it? Yes, please tell us about that. Because that's very unusual.
Yeah.
What was the occasion?
This is one day there was some discussion about the evolution of man, Darwin's theory with Swami and some devotees there. And my father, since he was an anthropology professor, he was very much interested in that.
Oh, he was also an anthropology professor?
Yeah, anthropology.
I thought only Indian history.
No, he was anthropology. He was teaching anthropology in the university.
So he was an expert on
that. So he was interested. And he started telling Swami, I know anthropology, so the evolution of man and all that. And then he said, Swami, the monkeys which lived on the ground, from there only the evolution of man, they are so near to the man because the evolution...
They are the ancestors of man.
Closest,
so man descended...
Closest. Then Swami said, no, there was one species of monkeys which lived on the trees but which had no tails. They were the closer relation to the man.
Okay.
And then father argued, no Swami, that cannot be because monkey needs a tail when it leaves on the trees because for jumping, for balancing, it needs a tail. Then suddenly
so there was
Swami,
an argument between it.
Then Swami said, no, like this.
And
just
so he,
to convince it, he created a stone monkey. It is about 3 inches and it had no tail. It was, and he gives, see, this type.
This kind of monkey.
Father was so astonished. He never knew that. And it was it had beautiful twinkling eyes. And it was holding a fruit in its hand. And it was there in our house, but my father presented
it. What color?
It was a stone, brown.
Brown?
Not dark brown, like the color of a biscuit, I can say, beige. Like that color. It was sitting with no tail, but holding a fruit in its hand. But the eyes were so expressive.
Okay. Then father, is that with you now?
No. Father said it is better it's kept in the museum so that people can see. If it is at home, only those who come to our home only can see it. But if it is kept in a public place like museum, then
others can.
I think it's now in the university museum or so. And also, I have some mementos of letters which Swami wrote to me.
No, before that, I wanted to you to tell us about that. I think I saw with you... a bookmark, a very, very unusual bookmark.
Yeah.
Tell us about that first.
See, those days when Swami used to move about in the garden and people would meet him there and he would be talking to them. And suddenly when he used to be near a coconut palm tree, he will just pluck out one leaf from there.
A dry one?
No, green one only.
Green one? Oh, yes, of course, it's easier to bend.
Then he used to split it. In that and make
take
a...
Take the strands.
Strand and then make it... he used to weave it.
Yes. Like into some different shapes. This one looks like a deer.
It's almost always the deer only. And he used to give it to the person nearby. Keep it as a bookmark, he will say. And I got one.
Okay. That is why was that what you had with you. So that's another memento then.
Yes, of course.
And it shows Swami's divine craftsmanship. I mean, he's the creator.
Of course.
But even in this bookmark, you can see, the delicate touch of the creator. Okay, then tell us now about your letters. Yes.
See, since I was married very young, there was a kind of the misunderstanding and some sort of thing between me and my husband.
Yes.
So to solve that, Swami sometimes used to call us for the interview and make us clear about the problems. But somehow it was not solved so easily.
Mm.
We couldn't make it or we couldn't understand each other very well. And so Swami used to often write to me letters to convince me and advise me how I should guide me, how I should lead the life in the family.
Mm.
So I can just read some of the extracts from those letters. I will read it in the language in which Swami has written.
And
can you translate it?
Okay, I will do that. Mm. After you finish the whole letter, then I will do the English translation.
First he used to write to me in the Kannada language, which I come from because Mysore and Bangalore. Then after I started learning Telugu and I was efficient in Telugu, he started writing to me in Telugu. But Swami had his own way of writing. It used to be in the English script, but the language will be something different.
So he would write your Kannada or Telugu letters, but in English script?
Yeah.
So that you could read it without difficulty.
ಏನು ಕಷ್ಟ ಇದ್ದರೂ ಸುಖ ಇದ್ದರೂ ನೀವು ಒಬ್ಬರಾಗಿರಬೇಕು. ಒಬ್ರಿಗೊಬ್ಬರು ಸರಿ ಮಾಡ್ಕೋಬೇಕು, ಹೇಳ್ಕೋಬೇಕು. ಏನು ಹೇಗಿದ್ರೂ ನೀವಿಬ್ರು ಒಟ್ಟಾಗಿ ಆನಂದವಾಗಿ ಅನುಮಾನ ಬಿಟ್ಟಿರಬೇಕು. ನೀವು ಆನಂದವಾಗಿರಬೇಕು, ಅದೇ ನಮಗೂ ಆನಂದ. ಅದಕ್ಕಿಂತ ನಮಗೇನು ಬೇಕು? ಏನು ಕಷ್ಟ ಸಂಕಟ ಸಂತೋಷ ಇದ್ದರೂ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಹೃದಯದಲ್ಲೇ ಇದ್ದು ಕಾಪಾಡ್ತಾರೆ. ನೀರು ಕುಳಿ ಬಡಗ ಹೇಗೆ ನೀರು ಒಳಗೆ ಹುಟ್ಟಿ ನೀರು ಒಳಗೆ ಮುಳುಗುತ್ತದೋ ಹಾಗೆ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಹೃದಯದಲ್ಲೇ ಇದ್ದು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಮನೋ ಆನಂದದಲ್ಲೇ ಓಡಾಡಿ ನಿಮಗೆ ಸುಖ ಸಂತೋಷಗಳನ್ನು ಕೊಡುತ್ತಾ ಇರುತ್ತಾರೆ. ಅದಕ್ಕೋಸ್ಕರ ನೀವು ಎಷ್ಟು ಕಷ್ಟ ಆದರೂ ಆನಂದವಾಗಿ ಅಧೈರ್ಯಕ್ಕೆ ಸ್ಥಳ ಕೊಡಬೇಡಿ. ನಾಮಸ್ಮರಣೆಯಲ್ಲೇ ಎಲ್ಲ ಸರಿಯಾಗುತ್ತದೆ.
ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಬಿ ದ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ಸ್, ವೆದರ್ ಇನ್ ಜಾಯ್ ಆರ್ ಸಾರೋ, ದೇ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಅಡ್ಜಸ್ಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಯು ಬೋಥ್. ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಸ್ ಯುವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ವ್ಸ್ ಟು ಈಚ್ ಅದರ್. Whatever may be the situation, you should be united, happy, and live without misunderstanding and doubts. You must always be in bliss. That alone gives me happiness. What more do I need than that? Whatever be the vicissitudes of life, your Swami is the resident of your heart and will take care of you. Like the water bubble that emerges from water and merges back in water, Swami will stay in your heart and stroll in your mental bliss. He will always shower happiness, comfort, and contentment on you. For the sake of this, whatever be the difficulties, be happy. Don't give room to depression. Naam Smarana, or repetition of God's name, will resolve everything.
Another letter.
When he wrote these letters to you,
yeah,
how did he address you? How did he address you?
First he will write as Padmamma Anduko Ashirvadamalu.
Oh, so Padmamma, accept my blessings.
Yeah.
Oh. And how would he sign off the letter?
Itlu ni Baba.
Oh, yours Baba.
Yours Baba.
Okay.
Then another second letter.
Hmm.
ಸಂಸಾರವೆಂದರೆ ಸರ್ವ ವಿಷಯದ ಸಾರ ಇರುವುದೇ ಸಂಸಾರ. ಕಷ್ಟ ಸುಖ ಸಂತೋಷ ಸೌಖ್ಯ ಸತ್ಯ ಅಸತ್ಯ ಎಲ್ಲಾ ಸೇರಿರುತ್ತದೆ. ಆದರೆ ಅದರಲ್ಲಿ ಯಾವ ವಿಧವಾದ ಧರ್ಮ ನೀವು ತಗೋಬೇಕು ದಾನ್ನಿ ಮಾತ್ರ ತಗೋಬೇಕು, ಮಿಕ್ಕದ್ದು ನೀವು ಯೋಚಿಸಬೇಡಿ. ಹಾಗೆ ಒಬ್ಬರೇ ಅಲ್ಲ ಸಂಸಾರ, ಸತಿಪತಿ ಇಬ್ಬರಲ್ಲಿ ಇದೆ. ಸತಿಗೆ ಗೊತ್ತಿಲ್ಲದಂತೆ ಪತಿ ಮಾಡಬಾರದು, ಪತಿಗೆ ಗೊತ್ತಿಲ್ಲದಂತೆ ಸತಿ ಮಾಡಬಾರದು. ಸತಿಪತಿ ಇಬ್ಬರು ಸೇರಿದ್ದೇ ಸಂಸಾರ. ಒಬ್ಬರಿಗೊಬ್ಬರು ಸುಖ ದುಃಖಗಳನ್ನು ತಿಳಿಸಿಕೊಳ್ಳಬೇಕು, ಆದರೆ ನೀವೇ ಸರಿ ಮಾಡ್ಕೋಬೇಕು. ಇನ್ನೊಬ್ಬರಿಗೆ ಮಾತ್ರ ಗೊತ್ತಾಗಬಾರದು. ಒಂದು ಮುಖದಲ್ಲಿ ಇರುವ ಎರಡು ಕಣ್ಣುಗಳ ಹಾಗೆ ಯಾವ ಕಣ್ಣಿಗೆ ಜಬ್ಬಾದರೂ ಒಂದು ಮುಖಕ್ಕೆ. ನೀವು ಸರಿಯಾಗಿ ಆನಂದವಾಗಿ ನಮ್ಮಕವಾಗಿರಬೇಕು. ಯಾವ ಸಮಯದಲ್ಲೂ ಸಾಯಿನಾಮ ನಾಮವೇ ಸ್ಮರಿಸು, ಎಲ್ಲ ಸರಿಯಾಗುತ್ತದೆ. ಇಬ್ಬರ ವಿಷಯದಲ್ಲಿ ನಾನು ನೋಡ್ಕೋತೇನೆ, ನೀನು ಮಾತ್ರ ನಾನು ಹೇಳದ ಹಾಗೆ ಸಂತೋಷವಾಗಿರಬೇಕು. ಎಲ್ಲ ವಿಷಯ ತಿಳಿದಿದ್ದಕ್ಕೋಸ್ಕರ ಎಷ್ಟೋ ಸಂತೋಷ ಪಡಬೇಕು. ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಒಳ್ಳೆ ಮಾರ್ಗಕ್ಕೋಸ್ಕರವೇ ಇಷ್ಟು ಮಾಡಿದ್ರು ಅಂತ ತಿಳಿಸ್ಕೋ. ನಿಮ್ಮ ಮೇಲೆ ಇರುವ ದಯದಿಂದ, ನಿಮ್ಮ ಸಂಸಾರ ಒಳ್ಳೆ ಮಾರ್ಗಕ್ಕೆ ತಿರುಗುವ ಇಷ್ಟದಿಂದ ನಾನು ನಿಮಗೆ ಇಷ್ಟು ಬರೆದಿದ್ದೀನಿ.
ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್. ಸಂಸಾರ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಸಾರ ಆರ್ ಎಸೆನ್ಸ್ of all vishayas or worldly tendencies. Samsara is a mixture of difficulties and comforts, truth and untruth, laughter and tears. But in this, you must select the dharma or the dharmic, only the righteous. Other things you need not concern yourself with. Samsara is not about a single individual. It is about husband and wife. The wife mustn't do anything without the knowledge of the husband. And the husband, in turn, must not do anything without the knowledge of the wife. Samsara is the coming together of the husband and wife. Each should share the joys and sorrows of the other. If there is a problem, it must be solved between yourselves. It should not be revealed to a third person. Husband and wife are like the two eyes of a face. If there is any ailment in one eye, it affects the one face. You both should live properly in faith and bliss. Repeat the name of Sai Ram incessantly. Everything will be fine. I will take care of all matters concerning both of you. You must remain happy, as I have told you. You must feel glad that you have come to know a lot of things. Know that Swami has done all this to turn you to the right path. I have written all this out of my compassion and concern, and to see that your family life proceeds on the right path.
Then, in another letter, ಮಾನವ ಜನ್ಮದಲ್ಲಿ ಎಷ್ಟು ಸುಖ ಸಂತೋಷಗಳು ಎಷ್ಟೋ ಸುಖ ಸಂತೋಷ ತಪ್ಪುಗಳು ಇರುತ್ತವೆ. ಅದನ್ನೆಲ್ಲ ನಾವು ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ಮಾಡಿಕೊಂಡು ಹೋಗಬೇಕು. ನೀವು ಸಂತೋಷವಾಗಿರಬೇಕು. ಒಬ್ಬರ ಮೇಲೆ ಒಬ್ಬರು ಅನುಮಾನ ಬಿಟ್ಟು ಇರಬೇಕು. ಆನಂದವಾಗಿರಬೇಕು. ಅದೇ ಸಂಸಾರ ಲಕ್ಷಣ.
ಇನ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಲೈಫ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಮೆನಿ ಅಪ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡೌನ್ಸ್, ಮಿಸ್ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಟು. ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಟು ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ದೀಸ್. ಯು ಬೋತ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ. Without doubting each other, you should live happily. That is the characteristic of worldly life or samsara. You know, earlier in the previous letter, he has defined samsara as a mixture of truth and untruth. So I think he was trying to say that the characteristic of worldly life is the ability to swim through these difficulties without drowning yourself in the ocean of worldly existence, which is samsara.
Then after some time, the problems became more and more. My husband lost his job. And my father-in-law, he had an enlargement of his heart. So he had to take retirement. He was of no job. And there was in the house financial problem and psychological problem was going on.
Naturally.
And I had 3 children. It was really a big, big problem. I didn't know what to do.
So trouble usually comes in battalions.
Yeah. So I wrote a letter. And in reply to that, he has written me like this.
Okay.
But this is in Telugu language, because by that time I think I knew how to read and
so he's written
understand
in Telugu.
Amavasya yappudu amavasyagane undadu. Pournami raka tappadu. Edo kontakalamu opika pettuko. Swami katakshamunaku gurikagalaru. Swami enatiki mimmula bada pettadu. Badalu okati paina okati vachuta vallana nee manasanta chirakuga mari undanu. ఇప్పుడే స్వామి స్మరణ ధైర్యము ఉపయోగించవలెను. ఎండల కాలమున ఉల్లన్ బట్టలు, చలికాలమున వాయిల్ బట్టలు వేస్తారా? ఏనాటికి వేయరు. ఇప్పటి వేడికి భగవత్ చింతన అన్న చల్లటి గుడ్డనే ధరించవలెను. అది కాక మరింత మనస్సును వేడి చేయు ప్రకృతి చింతన అనే ఉల్లన్ బట్టలు వేయవద్దు.
ఐ రిమెంబర్ హౌ షెలీ ఇన్ వన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ పోయమ్స్ హి సేస్, ఇఫ్ వింటర్ కమ్స్ can spring be far behind.
Yeah.
And here in this letter, Bhagwan, as Padmamma has just read, Amavasya, or the new moon night or dark night, is not everlasting. Purnima, or the full moon night, is certain to follow. Just for some time, be patient. Know that Swami's protective eyes, watchful eyes, are ever on you. Swami will never put you through difficulties. Because of difficulties coming one after another in succession. Your mind is agitated. This is the time to use Swami's name for courage. Will anyone wear woolen clothes in summer and thin cotton garments in winter? Never, ever. For the present heated state of your mind, wear the cooling garments of Bhagavad Chintana or remembrances of God. Do not increase the heat of your mind by wearing the woolen clothes of Prakriti Chintana or thoughts of the world.
I would like to narrate an instance
related to this
situation.
Yes.
Where Swami's care and his compassion, you will understand.
Yes.
See, when I was going through this, it was a very difficult time financially and all that, and I had 3 children.
Mm.
One day, my youngest child, he was Rajaram, was born here. He was just 3 years old.
Mm.
He had the habit of having one biscuit before he had his milk.
Mm.
That day, that biscuit was not there, and I couldn't afford to buy it. The situation was like that. He started crying and making all tantrums, and it was very difficult to
convince
him.
Because he wanted to have a biscuit with his milk.
And because the situation was like that, even my mother-in-law, my husband, everybody got angry with me because I had brought him up like that. I had made him.
Trained him to have a biscuit with his milk.
Anyway, I didn't know what to do. My only solace was Swami.
Mm.
I had an Indian letter. I wrote a letter to him. Swami, this is the situation. I don't know what. Are you not hearing my child's cry? Like that, I just poured out myself. And I posted it to Puttaparthi. That was what I used to do always. But unfortunately, Swami was not there in Puttaparthi. I didn't know that. He had been on a tour. He returned after 4 or 5 days, it seems. And my father and mother, they were in Puttaparthi. I didn't inform them about my difficulties or anything.
Mm.
So they didn't know what was happening to me.
Yes.
As soon as Swami got down from the car, it seems he called my father and asked him, you just find out where anybody is going to Bangalore tomorrow.
You were in Bangalore?
I was in Bangalore. So he searched and he got somebody and he told Swami, Swami, there are some people who want to go to Bangalore tomorrow urgently.
Then but Swami, you wrote the letter to Puttaparthi. Swami is just getting down from the car and asking your father, which means that the letter maybe didn't physically reach him, but he heard your agony.
Immediately after getting down from the car, when he came from the tour, he stood like this. And he asked father to put them in the front for the interview. Mm-hmm. They used to sit in the veranda for the interview. And also Swami said, you please give Padma's address to them. And father was wondering, what is this Swami asking somebody from Bangalore and giving them her daughter's address? He didn't know what it was.
He didn't know anything.
Yes.
Swami didn't tell him.
No. He called those people for the interview and gave them a box, cardboard box, big box, and said, you take this address, go to her house and give it to that.
To the house?
Yeah. And the next day, same day in the evening, they came and they gave me the box. The box contained all dry fruits from Delhi.
Oh,
how can I express my gratitude?
Really?
That is Swami.
That is Swami.
Swami.
That's right. You are right when you said, you can't describe this Swami. That is just Swami.
Then after these problems were over, it was there. My husband wanted to get a job. He thought of getting a job in Bombay. He went to Bombay. And it was very difficult those days to settle down in Bombay.
Mm.
And I had come to Puttaparthi. I came back to Puttaparthi with my 3 children.
Mm.
And there was no proper school in Puttaparthi then.
Yes.
So I was planning to go back to Bangalore again.
Mm.
And see that these children were educated. But at that time I was only just 28 years old.
Mm.
I didn't have the courage to go and live all alone with the 3 children.
Yes.
But if Swami gave me the permission and physically I wanted it.
Yes. Then you wouldn't
then
mind.
Then I would mind.
Oh, yes.
So I sent word with my father that she has decided to go to Bangalore and live with the children all alone. But she wants your permission physically and directly.
Yes.
Swami didn't give me any permission here. It was summer, so he went to Bangalore. And after going to Bangalore, he wrote me a letter.
Swami wrote you a letter?
Okay. And that he has given me the
permission
and the courage to go and stay in Bangalore. You can know it.
Yes. Please read it out. Yes.
ఇప్పటిలో ఏ యోచనకు చోటివ్వక పిల్లల అభివృద్ధికి కష్టపడు నాయన. వారిని సదాచార సంపన్నులుగాను సద్విద్య ప్రవీణులుగాను తీర్చిదిద్దు. అది తల్లి బాధ్యతే కదా. ఎంతకాలం ఇట్టు అని నీవు తలంతువేమో, కాలమునకు కాచుకొనవద్దు. కర్తవ్య కర్మలకు కాచుకో, కాలము అందులో కలిసి వచ్చును. ఇట్టి విషయములో కర్మ ప్రధానము కాని కాలము కాదు. కాలము ఏ కాలమైనా కర్మ పవిత్రమైతే కాలము పునీతమగును. కాలమంచి చెడ్డలు కర్మ ఫలితములే కదా. కాన స్వామి ఆజ్ఞ అని ఆనందముగా నీ కర్తవ్య ధర్మ కర్మము ఆచరించు. కష్ట నష్టములకు కన్నీరు పెట్టకు, కరుణకై కన్నీరు కార్చు. లోకమున కష్ట నష్టములు లేనివారు లేనే లేరు, కరుణ లేనివారెందరో. కాన లేనిదానిని సాధించవలను కాని ఉన్నదానికి ఉసురులు కొట్టుట ఎందుకు? గడిచిన వాటిని ఊరికే గమనమునకు తెచ్చుకొనవద్దు. గడిచినది గడిచిపోయినది, పాసిన అన్నము పక్వానికి రాదు. ముందు జీవిత ఆధారాన్ని ఆనందాన్ని యోచించుకో. అదే మనకు ప్రధానం ఆధారము. పిల్లల చదువుకై సద్బుద్ధులకై నీ జీవిత కాలమును ఉపయోగించు.
Right now, instead of being preoccupied with other things, busy yourself with taking care of the progress of your children, dear one. Make them virtuous, proficient in sadvidya, that is knowledge of truth. Is this not the responsibility of a mother? You may be wondering how long this is going to go on. But don't wait for time. Do your duty, then time will disappear in it. In such matters, karma or action is more important than kala or time. Even if time is not good, if the action is pure and good, it will transform or purify time also. The good and bad time is the result of actions, isn't it? So, follow Swami's commands and perform your duties happily and in a righteous manner. Don't shed tears for the kashta and nashta, the difficulties and the losses. Shed tears instead for the karuna or mercy of God. There is no one in this world who is without problems, but there are many who are without grace. So you have to acquire what you don't have and not exult over what you already have. Don't keep on thinking about the past. Past is past. Stale food cannot be made fresh again, can it? First, think of life's support and bliss. That is very important for us. It is also our support. Use your lifetime in getting your children educated and making them good and virtuous individuals.
So, by going through these problems, I come to understand what Swami once told me in the interview. Swami okkade sambandham, migita vanni nirbandham.
Swami is the only sambandham, relation.
Relation. Real, and the, true relation.
The true, real, true relative. And the others are only?
Only with nirbandham. Nirbandham.
That means compulsive attachments. Yeah. Swami, the relationship with Swami is eternal.
Yeah, eternal, true.
It is before birth and even after death it continues.
Yeah. So he made me realize this. I think it was worth going through these problems because I could come to the conclusion and realization. And there is one more letter I would like to read.
Yes, please.
See, usually we write letters to Swami or we give letters to Swami.
No, 1 minute. Yeah. I just have one small doubt, which I think I would like your opinion on this. And I'm sure there are others who have similar doubts, so maybe you are the best person who should answer this. You would think that life in general would be much more smooth and less difficult when Swami is physically close to you. You were one of the inner circle. So what do you think? Is there an inner significance in the fact that despite the divine physical presence, many of Swami's devotees who were in, so to say, experienced some of the most trying situations? many of us, I'm not talking of just you, but what I feel is that there is probably some significance. Is Swami putting us through these difficulties in His physical presence to teach us something? Because you would think, I mean, generally people outside would think, if you have God, you know what happened to the Pandavas.
Yeah.
If you have God, then you should have no difficulties. But many who are in the inner circle, I mean, in the grace and presence of Bhagwan, experience some of the most difficult situations. Could you give us an insight into this based on your own perception of it?
Because we have to go through these problems, you know, because of past karmas. Swami takes us so near and he gives us the strength to pass on these problems.
Pass through,
and then later realize what is real and what is unreal.
Okay. And then there is one more thing that I notice even in these letters and some of the books that I have read. Swami constantly, and I think he's still saying the same thing now too, constantly through all these letters, what I have noticed is that Swami advises you, and through your letters, of course, all of us, his devotees, to do Naam Smaran.
Yes.
That the name is everything. Don't you think so? Because even now he keeps saying that the times are bad, they are difficult, but just keep taking the name of God and everything will be all right.
Because it helps us to keep our mind calm and face the problems.
So there is a lot of power in the name.
Yeah, power.
Of God.
Yeah.
Yes, please tell us about the...
See, usually we write letters to Swami or give letters to Swami, and sometimes we are not able to give letter to Swami. And then we feel very sorry that we are not. But it
doesn't matter. You feel disappointed because he didn't take the letter or you couldn't give it to him.
But it doesn't matter because as we write, he knows the essence of the letters.
He already knows.
Yeah. I got one proof for that.
Okay, just, please tell us about it.
Just to give a background of this letter before he wrote. Father, after his retirement, Swami asked him to take his mother and wife for a Tirtha Yatra, like Kashi, Mathura and Vrindavan. And Swami told him, you buy 3 tickets and 4 of us will travel. Because Swami said, I am a ticketless traveler.
Mm-hmm.
I can travel.
Yes.
And they went, my father, and they had been to Delhi and Kashi and all that. During that time, my husband was attacked by typhoid. He had high fever and I was very much worried.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anybody to, because my parents were not there. So, every time when I was thinking, my thing was to write a letter to Swami.
Yes.
I wrote a letter to Swami and posted it to Puttaparthi, but unfortunately Swami was in Kodaikanal. I didn't know anything.
You didn't know Kodai address.
Kodai address, and I didn't know that he was in Kodai also.
Okay.
I thought he was in Puttaparthi. I wrote a letter and posted it to Puttaparthi. Then after some days, of a week or 10 days, he got all right. My husband was all right. Then my father and mother, they returned from their tour.
From their pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage. And father always, he also wrote a letter to Swami about his pilgrimage. It seems he had Swami's darshan in Kashi, Mathura and Vrindavan.
Wherever he went.
Wherever he went. So he wrote a letter to Swami about all that. He was so happy.
Like Shama in the Shirdi Charitra. He had the darshan of Swami in all those places.
Yeah. And in reply to that, so father's letter, Swami wrote a letter to father. And there is that mention of my letter. I would like to read.
Okay.
But can I read the whole letter? You would like
please read the whole letter. Yes.
Only in this letter we got the date of Swami. Because he never used to write the dates. Only in this letter. This letter was written on 26th
of May
1955.
Oh.
This is in Kannada.
Okay.
Kasturi, ನೀವು ಬರೆದಿದ್ದ ಲೆಟರ್ ಕೊಡೈ ಬಂದು ಸೇರಿತು. ಅವತ್ತೇ ನಾನು ಕೊಡೈ ಬಿಟ್ಟು ಹೊರಡುತ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದುದರಿಂದ ಬರೆಯೋಕೆ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಲ್ಲ. ನಾನು 25 ನೈಟ್ 12 ಗಂಟೆಗೆ ಮದ್ರಾಸು ಸೇರಿತು. ಕಸ್ತೂರಿ, ನೀವು ಮಾತೃದೇವಿತೂ ಸಹ ಯಾತ್ರೆಯೆಲ್ಲ ಆನಂದವಾಗಿ ಸುತ್ತಿ ಬಂದದ್ದು ತುಂಬಾ ಆನಂದವಾಯಿತು. ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಯಾವಾಗಲೂ ಜೊತೆಯಲ್ಲೇ ಇರುವಾಗ ನಿಮಗೇನು, ನಾಮ ಬೇರೆ ರೂಪ ಬೇರೆ ಅಲ್ಲ. ನಾಮವೇ ರೂಪವನ್ನು ತೋರಿಸುತ್ತದೆ, ರೂಪವೇ ನಾಮವನ್ನು ನೆನೆಸುತ್ತದೆ ಅಂಥದ್ದು. ಯಾವಾಗಲೂ ನಾಮ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಹೃದಯದಲ್ಲಿ ತಾಂಡವವಾಡುವಾಗ ರೂಪ ಅಲ್ಲೇ ಇದೆ. ಇದಕ್ಕೆಲ್ಲ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸಂಕಲ್ಪವೇ ಅಂತ ನೀವು ಹೇಳಬಹುದು. ಅಲ್ಲ, ಸಾಧನೆ ಮೊದಲು, ಸಂಕಲ್ಪ ಆಮೇಲೆ. ಭಕ್ತರ ಸಾಧನಾಬಲ ನೋಡಿಕೊಂಡು ಸಂಕಲ್ಪ ಫಲ ಕೊಡುವುದು, ಅದಕ್ಕೆ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಸಾಧನಾಬಲವೇ ಪ್ರಧಾನ. ಮಕ್ಕಳು ಬರೆದಿದ್ದ ವಿಷಯ ನೋಡಿಕೊಂಡೇ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ಮಾರ್ಕ್ ಕೊಡ್ತಾರೆ ಅಲ್ವಾ, ಹಾಗೆ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಸಾಧನೆ ನೋಡಿಕೊಂಡೇ ಸಂಕಲ್ಪ, ಅದಕ್ಕೂ ಅನುಗ್ರಹ ಬೇಕು. ಪಾಪ ಪದ್ಮ ತುಂಬಾ ಕಷ್ಟವಾಗಿರಬಹುದು, ಚಂದ್ರನ ಹೆಲ್ತ್ ವಿಷಯ ಪರವಾಗಿಲ್ಲ, ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ದಯ್ಯ ಸಂಪೂರ್ಣವಾಗಿದ್ದ ಮೇಲೆ ಭಯ ಯಾತಕ್ಕೆ. ನಾನು ಬಂದು ನೋಡಿದ್ದೀನಿ, ಅವತ್ತು ರಾತ್ರಿಯೆಲ್ಲಾ ಪದ್ಮ ಪರ್ತಿಗೆ ಲೆಟರ್ ಬರೆಯುತ್ತಾ ಇತ್ತು, ನೋಡಿತು. ಲೆಟರ್ ಮಾತ್ರ ಇನ್ನೂ ಬಂದು ಸೇರಲಿಲ್ಲ, ಭಾವ ಮಾತ್ರ ಆವಾಗಲೇ ಸೇರಿತ್ತು.
ಸೊ ದ ಲೆಟರ್ ಡಿಂಟ್ ರೀಚ್ ಮೀ. ಆಲ್ ರೈಟ್, ಲೆಟ್ ಮಿ ರೀಡ್ ದಿ ಹೋಲ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಇಂಗ್ಲಿಷ್. ಕಸ್ತೂರಿ, ದ ಲೆಟರ್ ಯು ರೋಟ್ ರೀಚ್ಡ್ ಮೀ ಎಟ್ ಕೊಡಾಯ್. ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಲೀವಿಂಗ್ ಕೊಡಾಯ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಡೇ, ಐ ಡಿಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಟು ರಿಪ್ಲೈ. ಐ ರೀಚ್ಡ್ ಮದ್ರಾಸ್ ಆನ್ 25th ನೈಟ್, 12 o'clock. ಕಸ್ತೂರಿ, ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ದಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಪಿಲ್ಗ್ರಿಮೇಜ್ ವಿತ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮದರ್ ಪಾಸ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ವೆಲ್. ವೆನ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಇಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಯು, ವಾಟ್ ಮೋರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೀಡೆಡ್? ನೇಮ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್. ದ ನೇಮ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್. ವೆನ್ ಯು ಸೀ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್, ಯು ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದ ನೇಮ್. ವೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಕೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಮೈ ನೇಮ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಡಾನ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್, ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲಿ ಯು ಕುಡ್ ಸೀ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್. ಯು ಕುಡ್ ಸೇ that it is all Swami's sankalpa or will. No, sadhana first, then sankalpa. That is, human effort first, then the divine will takes shape. Divine will is always in proportion to the power of the devotee's sadhana. Therefore, the power of sadhana is important. The master or teacher gives marks according to the answers written by the student. Likewise, the divine will manifests based on the sadhana. But for this also, anugraha or the grace of God is required. Poor Padma is in great difficulty. Chandran's health is not a problem. When Swami's daya or compassion is present in full measure, where is the room for fear? I came and saw. That night, Padma was writing a letter to Parthi. To me, the letter has not yet reached, but the contents, the feelings have reached me. Beautiful letter.
So these are all the mementos that I have.
Did you ever think of putting all this together in the form of a book?
Yes, I am thinking, and I have already written one book in my language, Kannada.
What is the title of the book?
I have not yet decided.
Are you compiling it still?
Yeah.
How many pages?
It won't be much, just 100 or 120, small book, with all my experiences, with all these letters.
And maybe more exhaustive number of letters?
No, same. Not many.
Same. But I'm sure there are more
experiences in that.
More experiences in that. All right, I think that's it for now. Thank you very much. As I said last time, talking to you is like unraveling secrets. It was a great pleasure for me to converse with you, and I'm sure the listeners of Radio Sai Global Harmony will be extremely grateful to you for sharing all these very, very, very rare and beautiful experiences that you had with Swami with them.
Sai Ram, thank you Rajeshwari and Radio Sai for having given me this opportunity to share with all the listeners my experiences with Bhagawan. And in a very, it's really a form of tribute to Swami that I have been able to say it. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listener, what you just heard was the second and the concluding part of a conversation with Srimati Padma, the daughter of late Sri N. Kasturi, the biographer of Bhagwan Baba. In conversation with Srimati Padma was Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. Dear listener, you could email us your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us to this number 9393258258. With this, we come to the end of this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam. It's me, Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai. At 11:30, Bishu will join you with a segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.
Gajanana Shri Ganaraya Adi Vandu Tuzamuraya
गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे विनाशन हे जन्म ज दुख विनाशन हे
कारण है
साई कृष्ण जनार्दन हे भव भय जन भी कारण हे सनातन हे परम दया घन पावन हे जन्म जदुख विनाशन हे
परमात्मा
हृदय भरो ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो करो
सोहम प्यार करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु
सोहम
साई ध्यान करो
सोहम साई ध्यान करो
सोहम आत्मा शिव परमात्मा
हृदय भरो